Now here in this chapter, Matthew 13, the Lord began to speak to the people in parables. And I want to go through this first one with you this morning, the parable of the sower. And I've titled this, Who Hath Ears to Hear? Who Hath Ears to Hear? Now, first of all, what is a parable? A parable is an earthly illustration of a heavenly truth, of our Lord's truth, His gospel. And the Lord, let's read this together. Matthew 13, we'll read these 23 verses. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now the Lord tells us here what he's illustrating, what his point is in this parable. In verses 18 and 19, he says, Hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. What he's teaching his true disciples here is that it is of utmost importance never to take lightly the hearing of the gospel of the kingdom preached. That's what he's doing here. He's preaching this to them, and as he's preaching this to them, his gospel to them is the importance of hearing the word of the kingdom preached. Verse 1, he says, or verse 3, he says, he began speaking in a parable, and he says, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, this is easily understandable. He's comparing those who preach the gospel to a farmer who sows seed. Now, the Lord is the one who gives the seed to the sower. It's from the Lord. He said in Luke, the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. That's what the seed represents, the Word of God. Paul said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. It's only God who gives the increase of this Word. He calls His preachers by this Word. He gives it to them directly as He did to His apostles. He doesn't do that directly to men today. He does it through the hearing of the Word. The Scripture says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And by this same means, God is pleased to edify and to build up and to continue to teach His disciples, His true disciples. Is it this way? It pleased God to do it this way. And He says He did it this way to bring to nothing those who think they're something. That's why He chose to do it this way. All right, let's look at this now. First of all, we see the wayside hearer. When he sowed, verse 4, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, in verse 19, he tells us exactly what that means. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, preached, just like we're doing now, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Some hear this gospel right now, and they don't understand it. Some come in, and just as quickly as they hear it, it's gone. And they discredit and they don't hear it. I have no doubt in my mind that the Lord is knowing the hearts of everyone in this great multitude who was before Him. He's describing what each of their hearts were as they sat there and heard Him declare this very gospel. Some of them heard it, and it didn't faze them. It didn't faze them. It was like throwing water against a brick wall, and didn't even faze them. The stony ground hearer, verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now verse 20 tells us exactly what that means. He that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and right away with joy he receives it, yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for just a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. Now, some take delight in hearing good sermons. They do. Some people like to hear the types looked into, and they delight in those types like you delight in Shakespeare. Delight in hearing a gospel preached like you delight in a good movie with a well thought out plot and twists and turns and all those things. And they get real excited, they get warm and fuzzy, and they decide, they get excited about it. Real excited about it. But then tribulation comes, persecution, because of this gospel, and it will come. Sometimes in our own household, sometimes with our neighbors, sometimes in our community, in our business, wherever. It's going to come because of this word. And he gets offended. He'd rather satisfy men than bow to God. And he doesn't have any root in himself. Our root is Christ. The root that brings forth fruit is Christ. He said to the Philippians, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise of God the Father. Now, people mean well, and they come up to you after a message and they say, oh, that was a good sermon. You know what I would delight to hear and what I do delight to hear? When folks come up and tell me and say, oh, that's a great Savior. That's a great Savior. You know what the folks in Corinth were delighting in? The preacher. They were delighting in the preacher, not in the Christ he preached. And it caused them to say, I like Peter better. I like Apollos better. I like Paul better. That's right. Carnal. All right, here's the third thing. The thorny ground here. Verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. He also that... Verse 22, he tells us what that is. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now these are folks who try to do the impossible. Try to do the impossible. Serve God and serve the world. Serve mammon. If you genuinely, in your heart of hearts, want Christ, but also you really want the cares of this world, the cares of this world will choke the word. If you genuinely, really want the unsearchable riches that are in Christ alone, but you really also want the riches of this world, the deceitfulness of these riches will choke this word. No ifs, ands, maybes, buts about it. The Lord said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. No possible way. And he says, this man becometh unfruitful. And the fruit that he's talking about here is hearing the gospel and delighting in the gospel and walking in the gospel and rejoicing to hear this gospel. That's the first fruit he's talking about here. And he'll become unfruitful in that very thing. He not only won't delight in the word, he don't want to hear it preached. Don't want to hear it preached. All right, here's the fourth kind of hearer, and this is the good ground hearer. Matthew 13:23. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now these hear the word, they understand the word, and they bear fruit. Now the Lord says some bear different amounts of fruit. The fruit's not the same, but they all bear fruit. Every one of them. Now, verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what does our Lord teach us from this parable? What is he teaching us from this parable? Here's the first thing. He's teaching us that the seeing eye and the hearing ear and the believing heart are gifts of God. Look here in verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, to his disciples, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But unto them it is not given. It is not given. God gives life to whom he will. He gives life to some, he doesn't give it to others. He gives ears to hear to some, he does not give it to others. He gives an understanding heart to some, he does not give it to others. If he's giving you ears to hear, then, as he said in Luke, take heed how ye hear. Take heed. All right? That's the first thing. If you hear, it is a gift given to you of God that he doesn't give everybody. Secondly, he's teaching us that those who will not attend to the hearing of the gospel, he shall give over to judicial blindness, to complete and total darkness. It pleased God to save through the preaching of his word. He has given his word. He has given his sower. He has says, attend it. He says, walk in the light he has given you. Because those who don't are turned over to darkness. Three out of the four hearers here did not hear in this parable. Now, he gives us an example. Look at verse 12. That's exactly what he says. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now the example the Lord gives here is national Israel. A bold witness to exactly what Christ is teaching here. He sent his prophets to them. He gave them his word. But they despised his prophets and they would not walk in the light God gave them. And so he took that light away from them. He took those prophets away from them. And he turned them over to darkness. Darkness. Complete darkness. And here he is, standing here sowing before a great multitude of them. But he's not sowing to them. That's exactly what he said. It's not given to them. Now look here in verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They think they see. Remember the Pharisee said to the Lord when he healed that blind man, this is what we looked at Friday night, our young people. They said, are we blind also? And he said, if you were blind, if you would say you were blind, you wouldn't have any sin. But now you say you see, and you're left in your sin. You're left in it. Think you can see on your own. You don't need Christ, don't need his gospel, don't need his way. You're arrogant. Seeing, you see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. The Lord said this through Isaiah in Isaiah 6, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. The Lord said this was coming upon them. Remember what we've seen through Isaiah? Seeing, ye shall see, and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. That's not just a suggestion. That's a command. Do you know that? He that hath ears, let him continually attend to the preaching of the gospel. Be careful how you hear. That's what he's saying. Faith cometh by hearing. Turn to Romans 10:14. Let's see this in another place. The same thing is said. This is quoted so often and so out of context that we lose sight of what this is saying. Faith does come by hearing because God chose to do it that way. And hearing by the Word of God because God chose to do it that way. Through the sowers God has sent to sow His Word. To bring your pride, our pride and our arrogancy to absolutely nothing. That's why he chose to do it this way. Now look at Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Salvation is in those that call on the Lord. How are they going to call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. They haven't all obeyed this very word. That hearing does come, that faith does come by the hearing of the gospel preached, by attending to the word spoken through God's messenger. They haven't all obeyed this gospel. For Isaiah, one that God sent, a prophet he sent, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed this gospel? And he says here, But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound, the sound of his prophets, went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses, he was the one God raised up first and sent. First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold. And he said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest of them that asked not after me. He's telling us this salvation comes by the divine electing grace of God. It comes through God's way, God's manner, in the manner that pleases God so that you and I are not going to receive any glory, but all the glory is going to go to God. That's what every prophet that ever came was declaring to the people to whom he was sent. But look what the Lord said. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. He sent his prophets. He gave them his word. They wouldn't walk in the light God gave them. They wouldn't obey that gospel and attend it in the manner God sent it. So he took the prophets away. He took the light away. And not only that, he made their hearts and their minds dark, blind, so they couldn't hear him, couldn't see him. All right, here's the third. Who hath ears to hear? Let him attend to the hearing of the word preached. That's what he said. This is Christ speaking. Can you hear that? It's Christ the Lord speaking. Not my words. I don't care if you believe me saying it or not. Believe him, though. That's who sent me to say this to you. Believe him. This is serious business now. Here's the third thing. He's teaching all whom he has given life and faith so that we rejoice to hear this gospel. He's teaching you who hear this now and are taught in the heart now by him. He's saying to you, what he's given you is a rich, rich blessing. Look at verse 16. But blessed, he's saying this to his disciples, not to that multitude. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He gave them life, and he gave them the fruits of the Spirit. And he personally, intimately, is teaching every one of them right here, his disciples alone, not the multitude, his disciples, just as he's teaching some of you sitting right here in your heart. He did it. He was standing here in person doing it through his word. Now he's sent forth his messengers just like he sent his prophets in the beginning. And he's teaching through that word in the hearts of his people. And what he's saying to us, brethren, is, I didn't give this understanding to the rest. I gave it to the rest in parables. This just came like a story to them. Just a story. Is that how the gospel's coming to you? Are you hearing this? You're delighting and rejoicing in this. Those who set their heart to hear this gospel, or those that set their hearing this gospel, but could not hear in spirit and truth, they were witnesses to his true disciples of what a great, great blessing he had given to his disciples. Do you understand that? This is what he said in Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Even though that great multitude was there, and he knew they couldn't hear him, and he knew he blinded them. He is God who blinded them, and he knew that they weren't going to hear what he said. Still, he endured that great multitude with great long suffering for this reason, that he might make known the riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us which are called out of the Jews and the Gentiles. He sat there and he taught them, and he just endured with those others to show these vessels of mercy what a rich blessing he'd given them. Do you see that? Does that make you delight and see what a great and blessed and glorious privilege he's given you? I'm telling you, I've told you this from day one, and some of you still don't believe me, I don't think. The multitude in this world right now claim to believe Christ. The majority do, and they don't. They don't. I hope you can discern the difference. They don't. There is a message the carnal mind loves that's preached from this very gospel that the carnal man loves, that the carnal preacher, carnal sower, and the carnal hearer loves. And there is a message from this gospel that the spiritual sower loves and the spiritual hearer loves. And I can't manifest the difference to you. God can. He did to his disciples, and they heard him. And he said, you've been given a blessed and glorious blessing, a rich, rich blessing. Here's the fourth thing. The Lord also strengthens the hearts of those he's given ears to hear. Not to take this means of grace for granted, by reminding us that we've been given more than his prophets of old and his true saints of old. He says in verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. You see what? This just magnifies the richness of his blessing. We have Moses and Isaiah. They saw Christ's day. But in this lifetime, they never fully got to see carried out what you and I have seen carried out and what we have written in the full written Word of God and preached to us today in this Word of God of how Christ came and how he went to the cross and how he laid down his life and how he really did. We see all of it come together that he said it was come. How those that were blinded and had the wisdom of him, he used those very ones who were too smart for their own good to crucify the Prince of Life so that he could save those who were babes that he promised to save from the beginning. And he purged their sin and he washed away their sin, and he's now given his apostles and his evangelists and his pastors and teachers, and he finished out writing this whole book for us, and now he's given it to us, and we have this glorious, blessed richness that none of the prophets of old nor none of the believers of old had fully as we have it now. What a treasure he's given to us. And we're going to say, we'd rather do something else in this world than be here and hear this. That says multitudes about us. Hear him. Hear what he says that says about us. Do you hear what he says it says about us? Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves whether you be in the faith. Make your calling and election sure. Do you really delight in this word? That's something to think about. Do I really delight in hearing the word of the kingdom of God? Well, here's what he's saying. John 15, we'll close. This is it. This is it in a nutshell. John 15. He that hears is going to bring forth some fruit. They are. You're not going to be able to hide the fact you don't delight in this gospel. I'm not looking at you. I can't discern it. You can fool me. But you're not going to hide it from him. Now watch what he says here. John 15:1. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's what he did with a whole entire nation called National Israel. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, he said to his disciples. This is how you're made clean, through the word I have spoken unto you. Now, how are you going to be made clean? Through the word he's spoken unto you. He going to come in person and speak to you? No, he's going to send an ambassador, a spokesman, to speak his word, and he's going to speak to you through that ambassador. And he says, that's what he says he did to them personally. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And he cleaned them and spoke this word to them to send them forth to speak this word to others through whom he would cleanse others through this incorruptible word. And he says then, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, No more can ye except ye abide in me. You don't have any root in yourself. I don't have any root in myself. We're going to bring forth fruit. It's going to be abiding in Christ. Hearing His gospel. Hearing Him preached. Hearing the words that He speaketh into our hearts through His gospel. And He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, who hath ears to hear? This is what He says. This is His command. Let him hear. Let him hear. Amen.